All right, welcome to episode 5 or 6, depending on how you handle it.
Episode 5?
Hey guys, sorry, that is Quail. He's got Channing Frye's dick in his mouth. We'll remove it right now.
it's so tasty.
We did talk about what we liked in the playoffs in the last episode, and we made some predictions, and you'll never hear them, so we were all right. Yes. It's gone exactly as expected so far and as predicted. We can talk about the awards, though.
Yes.
And we've opened a line on on the forum, so ask us questions there and we'll answer them here.
So awards, do we want to start off with Sixth Man of the Year, which is kind of what we were talking about in the beginning of the show with Channing Frye's penis in Quail Man's mouth. So
it sounds like a good way to start. So let's do it.
We know who your votes for. Why?
He's coming in as a rookie, and as a rookie, he's put up in 23 minutes, 12.7 rebounds, 1.1 block, 1 turnover, and shooting 45.2% from the field. That's all off the top of my head, because that's how much of his dick is in my mouth right now.
Right. Wow, this has gotten awkward already.
I'm just kidding. Anyway, but I think that just being a...
Who does Eaton Thomas play for?
The Timberwolves.
He used to play for the Rockets.
Got it.
Coming as a rookie, playing behind those guys, I mean, to be honest, he's been keeping my team... the three-man rotation I have between him, Tyson Chandler, and Brian Grant has been perfect, because Brian Grant and Tyson Chandler, sometimes when they match up against a bigger center or something along those lines, get into foul trouble. And then he steps right in and just fills the void of rebounds, blocks, and points. I mean, that's what you're looking for off of a bench and a Sixth Man of the Year. So,
question, give me his stats again.
I'm 12. Comparing.
How many minutes?
23.
Okay.
12 points.
Uh-huh.
7.1 rebounds. I don't know the assists.
What's his field goal percentage?
45.2.
This is not even a contest between him and Eaton Thomas. So, it's definitely Frye over Thomas.
Can you look at my guy?
Yeah.
Since I can't look it up on my phone. And that's going to be Leandro Barbosa for the Hornets.
So, I'm sorry. I went to your roster because I thought that's what you meant. But
so part of the reason I like Leandro Barbosa is that he plays the 1 and the 2 position backup for the Hornets. He comes in, he adds that scoring punch. He's exactly what the Hornets need off the bench because they are a high-scoring team, and they don't lose a thing. They actually might gain something when he comes into the lineup.
All right, so let me read you his line. So this is Barbosa's line. It's 25 minutes, 12.3, then a bunch of small stats, 2.4 rebounds, 3.3 assists. The point here is that he's shooting 476 from the field and
as a
40% from the three-point line.
As a perimeter player,
yeah.
He's shooting 470.
Yeah. Playing that 1 and that 2, I don't expect him to come in and be an assist leader, honestly, because he's playing at the 2 just as much as he's playing at the 1.
Right.
That's a strong argument. He's playing a lot of minutes.
It's really personal preference. I mean,
who do you think is
contributing more to their team?
Looking at Frye, you know, one of the tips you can give to him is that he is doing more at his position with the 8 rebounds. Like, if you look at Barbosa's stat line,
Frye has 7.
Frye has 7?
Yeah.
Right, so, yeah, Frye has 7.
Thomas has 8.
I don't think so. I just looked at it.
I think he does. I'll have to double check.
Maybe I was doing it wrong. Anyway, so Barbosa isn't... Barbosa's stat should be assist, and he's got, like, 3 assists a game or something.
What about his steals?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't look at that. His steals, 1.3 steals a game.
That's a lot.
It's a pretty
good
one.
For a backup.
Yeah.
So he plays defense, not that...
Low turnovers, 1.2.
Yeah, he plays defense, not that Channing doesn't. Channing does a good job. I think it's a two-man race, really. I think it's Channing or Barbosa. I mean, you can't go wrong either way.
And this doesn't take anything away from Thomas, because Eaton Thomas is playing great, great ball.
Right.
What was Barbosa's minutes again, though?
26, I think.
Looking at Barbosa's minutes, he has 25.5.
Okay, so they both are averaging 20, or he and Thomas both are averaging 25-ish a game. And whereas Fry's doing the same pretty comparative numbers, but in two less minutes. It's not much, but it's just, you know, more production, less time on the field.
But it's my personal opinion, at least, that the big men in the league can put up stats easier than the guards coming off the bench. And this is coming from a guy who had Othello Harrington win it last year, and not even as a scoring option. He was putting up 14 and 10 a game almost off the bench. So that's why I'm so impressed with Barbosa putting up those similar numbers to the big men.
Right.
So we want to talk about the next one. This one was a highly debated topic, but it was most improved player. So the big topic with it is what does most improved player mean? It's between two players, right? This is another two-man race between Baron Davis and then Ron Artest. So some people, and I think this is what happens in real life when we start looking at MVP. Like, is MVP most valuable player to his team, or is MVP the best player in the league? And some people go with one school of thought, and the other set of people go with the other school of thought. So, in context to this, is this most improved player from the bottom up, like from point A to point B, or is this most improved player a guy who went from being a fringe all-star to being an all-NBA talent? Which one is harder, in your opinion, Trey?
I think the question really goes to the Baron Davis debate, I believe, right?
Right. Baron Davis and Ron Artest.
Baron could be put into this argument for a couple of different awards, but Baron was a really, really good producer, and I had Ron Artest. You had Ron Artest at one point. We expected a lot more of Ron Artest when we did play him, and he just never got going.
Right.
Ron Artest is his stats, and I don't have him on me right away, but he's been phenomenal this year. And I know you ran some just rough statistics on like what his increases were over the year, but we're talking like hundreds of percent increases and not at minutes, at you
points
know,
per game.
Points per game and things like that. I mean, to get a guy who you really, I don't know that they really anticipated him being that productive, to get him, I mean, that's the reason why the Pacers are where they're at or where they were when they got into the playoffs. And probably why they gave the Hornets a run for their money in that first series.
And we'll talk about that a little bit further.
But I think it's more, most improved player to me is bottom up. You can't talk about a guy who's a fringe all-star and say, oh, he just all of a sudden turned it on and is now an MVP candidate. Yes, that's improvement, but that's not from, you know, from the dregs of the league up to a legitimate starter who is going to get a nice contract next time he's available.
Well, Artest wasn't even good enough to start. He wasn't even good enough to play when he was on my team. Like, I couldn't find him any minutes because he was so bad.
And he had upside.
And there was at one point there on a team he was getting like 25 minutes a game and scoring like 2 points a game.
Yeah.
And now he's up to like 32 minutes and scoring like 18 or 17 a game. That kind of improvement is just unbelievable.
Night and day.
Right?
Night and day. And I agree here with both of the guys. You know, like it's Ron Artest is, to, I mean, a runaway. I mean, you can have a guy that's fringe all-star going to, you can make an argument for that because looking at the league, it's really hard to get into that all-NBA team. I mean, you look at those guys, it's top three of those positions, and there's some great players out there. And for him to jump automatically to the number one, the all-NBA first team point guard is great when he didn't even make it last year. But Ron Artest literally came out of nowhere doing nothing, and now all of a sudden is a major contributor on the Pacers. And I, you know, he's expiring, so you know he's gonna be a target for a lot of teams. So the Pacers better be ready to throw some money his way.
Right, I agree. So the next award that we can go to is, since we pretty much have a consensus on Ron Artest being the most improved player,
he's at least got 3 votes from us.
Right, yeah. That's 3, and that's there's probably what 12 votes. So
yeah, probably.
He needs about 2 more votes to probably pull it in. But the next big vote that we go through every year is GM of the Year. So I see you cracking a smile over there, Quail, because you've got a vote. And, you know, somebody brought up, because I thought I remembered you winning it before.
I did. I won it 2 seasons back when Arenas got hurt and Charlie Wood stepped in, and then we went like crazy.
Do you hear me, League? There is no way this guy deserves 2 GM of the Year votes. It's just no way. I'm kidding. He's done a really good job with this team, so he's definitely in the running. But again,
their team's ahead of me. Like, yeah. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not voting for myself.
If I had to put it to again the common theme here, the 2-man race, it would be the Mavs GM, who is Obama and himself right now and trying to win this election on the public front. And then there is Soundwave, who is kind of playing silent right now, and I think he's pretty confident in what he's doing. Well, they're both really deserving of the award right now. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, it's not like we've never ended in a tie before. I think last year there were 2 GMs of the Year. So there's nothing saying that can't happen again.
Okay, let's go about this a different angle. I think that these are easily the favorites. I know B-Ball wants to throw his hat in there, too, and that's just not going to happen.
With the steal of the draft, Chris Paul, how is that a steal when you had the first pick?
He was trying to elicit response.
Yeah.
He's not really throwing himself in there.
Which moves would you question the most in the last year by these guys?
By the Raptors and by the Mavericks?
Yes. I don't know how many the Raptors did during the season. I do know the Keith Van Horn trade.
No, that's the Mavericks.
That's what I mean, the Mavericks. So is that a questionable pick? Was that a good pickup for him?
That got him to where he is now.
Yeah, so the questionable ones for Soundwave was the Andre Miller contract, because he kind of got frightened into doing that one. And then I also think that he sold Grant Hill for pennies on the dollar, right? He got 2 picks from the Wizards, who are perennially good. I had trouble with that word.
It's okay.
It's chain fries dick in your mouth, too.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Tim Duncan's, but...
whatever. Same guy.
At least it's a prestigious dick, Doug.
Same guy.
Same guy.
This is going in a place we don't want it to go.
So anyway, those are the two real questionable moves. But the reason why I personally have Soundwave, I don't know, slight like a nose ahead of the Mavs owner was the 2 big contracts he got out of Peja and then Mo Pete. He got both of them at a discount. He waited for the big bidding to go away and everybody run out of money. Ended up getting those guys for a really, really good price. Meanwhile, I think the Mavs owner really did his work over a couple of seasons. And to me, it's not like a lifetime achievement award. It's more of a what you did this season. So
yeah.
The Mavs owner did great. I don't think I personally don't think he should have traded for Van Horn, but he wanted to make a run at it this year. So I don't blame him. Yeah, it wasn't negative.
I don't know. I'm not sure if he has his own draft pick this year. And I think if there's any negative side to that trade, is just the value of that draft pick. But this draft sucks. I mean, we looked at the talent pool in there.
Right.
So, I mean, there's not much past the top 5. So, if you weren't going to be top 5, which, again, the Heat can speak to this because they jumped from, you know, number 11 last year to number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it number 2? No, they went number 2.
What? The number 2 overall pick.
Yeah, so I mean, they took a 9 pick jump, but I mean, that's a crazy lottery, and you're putting a lot of eggs in one basket there. Almost balls in one basket there, too. But
we could do that, too.
I don't think that was, you know, they actually had a move between the two of them when he traded Kenyon Martin to the Mavericks.
Right.
I forget what it was actually for. Was it a pick? And
I think it was Olowokandi.
Olowokandi was the center. Because I think Olowokandi's expiring.
No, I think he got a pick too, though.
He might have gotten a pick back. I think it was a late round pick or something. But I mean, that was a good move for both teams. So they kind of fed off each other a little bit this season.
Well, you want to talk about looking at it from different angles. Let's look at it like this. Which team would you prefer to take over? Say if you had to give up the Bucks, you had to give up the Pistons, and you had to choose between the Mavericks or the Raptors. Which team would you pick to take over?
I'd take the Mavericks.
I'd probably take the Mavericks, especially with Granger and Durant.
I think long term, I'd take the Mavericks. Immediate, I'd take the Raptors.
Really? Why?
Immediately?
Yeah.
I think the Raptors are a better team right now, with Maurice Peterson and
Mo Pete.
Nobody calls him that.
Maurice
and Peja.
Maurice.
So with Mo Pete and with Peja, they're good right now.
So give me a timeout here. You guys are taking the Raptors, who are better now, but the Mavs got the 3 seed and have Kenyon Martin.
Well, all I'm saying is that they're going to get even better.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. I'd take the Mavericks. I don't want to say that.
No, this is okay. This is who we would take. Which job we would take. This doesn't necessarily mean that we think that they're the GM of the year. I would take the Mavs job. I would not say that that makes him the better GM out of the two. I think that he got two really good picks from the lottery. Which, let's be honest, if you got number two and number four in a draft, you would be head over heels about that too. I think that he benefited from a really, really good draw. Wave number five. So here you got the guy that picks 2 and 4. He takes Durant and Granger. Then Wave takes, you know, what was Lee, right? Fifth?
Mm-hmm. Lee.
I think it shows that Soundwave may have done more with his roster to get to where he's at.
So, first of all, this isn't who's a better GM. So
it's GM of the year.
Right. It's who did a better job. Better job.
That's what I meant. Right. You know, this is not a popularity contest. That's not what I'm trying to say. I think that Soundwave for most of the year was the better GM.
I think Soundwave's team was a lot more set at the beginning of the year with his roster. I think the Mavericks had to make a few moves to put him into the top three.
But that
in the West. Doesn't, again, not
that saying that.
That
should make him better.
That
though.
Should make
that
him a better
him
GM, though. That argument should make him a better GM.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he made some moves, like we said, that helped him out in the immediate, that got him into the number three seed. I mean, that was a tight race. And he was on the verge of falling out. And by trading for Van Horn, that really put him over the other, you know.
If I could vote for a tie, I'll vote for a tie because I think these guys did
both
equally good job.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, neither one of them, unfortunately, neither one of them moved to the next round, so that's not the trump card either. They both had hard fought series. Yes, great series.
Great series.
Again, if we could vote at a tie, we probably should, but
we're going to be man unlike well man here.
Yeah.
And
I'm going to vote for my division, honestly. I'm going to vote for the Raptors. I think that he did a good job. I think he nailed free agency. I think he nailed his game plan, and I think he's a scary team to play from this point forward. And I think that just makes that, to me, the things that he did in free agency, not just getting rid of contracts, which is what the Mavericks had to do. I think he just did a better job setting himself up and then just delivering exactly what
That's
we had
true.
Expected from him. We all anticipated he was going to be GM of the year. And this is the point of the conversation is there's another guy who's kind of snuck into the conversation, but Soundwave delivered on exactly what we thought he was going to do.
Well,
am I right?
Yeah.
I mean, he managed his team to the best of his ability, ended up in the tied for the third best record in the East, or second best record in the East.
I'm going to go out there and, I'm going to go with the Mavericks. I'm going to pick them. There's actually one other move that I completely forgot about. They got rid of Larry Hughes.
Right.
That was like a huge contract. That would have really stunted his team's growth in future years, but he was able to get rid of that. Not to say that Larry Hughes is still a bad player. It's just his contract is just gets a little hefty after next season.
Well, he took on that contract. He's the one that took that contract on.
Who? No, he didn't.
He didn't?
Okay. Orlando traded that to the Mavericks, Kaitos Jr.
Or whatever. Oh, yeah. Kaitos, period.
Right, yeah. So he was able to get rid of Larry Hughes' contract and really, you know, I think that's another move that really kind of helped him out. So, again, it's a tight race, but I'm going to throw my name into the hat with the Mavericks. If I could vote for a tie, I would, but if I had to pick one, that's where I would go.
I already voted, but I voted for Soundwave just because I felt like he got rid of a ton of bad contracts, and he kind of, I feel like he created his own destiny a little bit more than getting the two draft picks to do it. Like I said, if I could vote for a tie, I would do a tie, but I don't think we can vote for that.
And the Mavs, they won the lottery. Soundwave was the worst record. Last year, three of us had the worst record, and he fell back to five, so he got penalized more than it, about as much as anybody,
right.
Yeah.
By falling back to five when he was guaranteed no worse than six. And for the Mavs to move up as much as they did, I think that kind of helps how good their team was. I think we need to move on to the next thing.
So the next topic of discussion for me is at Sim League Over Everything, we are big into accountability. So we need to talk about three main items, one that got deleted, or two that got deleted off last podcast.
Do you think the whole podcast got deleted because of making me look bad, maybe?
I didn't want to call in your integrity,
that's
fine. We'll bring it up again and see if this one gets, quote-unquote, deleted. Or
I have no
corrupted,
idea what you guys are talking about,
corrupted
so I'm kind of excited about this.
So, for one, we need to talk about, yes, how miserably wrong we were about the Mavericks.
About their,
we said they weren't going to make the playoffs the last.
We
crow on that one. He showed us up, and they had a really great series with the Sonics.
He did. I mean, he performed. It looked like he was trending the wrong way. I think it's pretty safe to say that through five sims, he was trending the wrong way, and he outlasted everyone. Finished third. I couldn't be any more wrong about that. And there's a couple other things I was wrong about, but yeah, that's maybe a huge one.
Really, there's four things. So the next one we'll go to is the Celtics, in which Quayle was right about and Trey and I were wrong about. We both picked the Celtics to sneak into the 8th seed of the playoffs, and you said he wouldn't make
it there.
What Quayle was wrong? No, what Quayle was wrong is he said he'd finish above the Pistons, and I agreed with him.
Oh, this is when I.
But this is him. I said I didn't think that he could make it into the playoffs, but I did think he would get above the Pistons. I thought that was a stupid call at the time. Apparently, I'm the 9 seed in the East, and that didn't happen. That being said, it was too much ground to make up. He had three horrible sims at the end of the year. I mean, that 20-day span was terrible for him. And it may worry him again. Instead of ending on a good note, you still have these two older players that you're strapped down for a long time.
Grant Hill, too.
These are guys, I would think that I would have been feeling good going into next season, and I may not now at this point.
He's still got to be here. I mean, really, if you had to bet right this second, not looking at what anybody else does, you bet that he's going to be a top 4 seed.
I think he's a top 4 seed.
Just seeing what he did.
I'm usually wrong about top 4 predictions, though.
Which is what we'll get to in a minute. But, you still look at his roster and it's strong. Those three guys, as long as you avoid injury, and I don't know if there's any correlation in this league between age and injury. But I can tell you from a personal standpoint, now that I've got some older guys on my team, I can see my injuries starting to rack up every year. Like, Iverson's getting hurt. Even McGrady, who's only 26, starting to get hurt. Duncan got hurt a bit. Jason Williams was perpetually hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be a correlation between age and injury. I don't know. If I had to bet on it, I wouldn't think so. But if he gets injured again, he can be a low seed, and he'll be another one of those dangerous two-watch teams. But he just can't get behind the eight ball, you know, like 30 games under 500 like he was this year.
And I think that fatigue does come into play in this league.
We've
agreed on that before.
Yeah.
So you can't run your guys in the ground. He was trying to get back to that eighth seed. There's no wonder he didn't have a good last couple sims. For his sake, I would say keep your guys out on the floor for as limited amount of time as you can during the year. Hopefully Grant Hill doesn't have to play 90 games next year too, which if he stays on the same team, it should be fine. But I think he'll be all right. We'll see. He's got to
get Sam Cassell back, or he's got to get another point guard back, which is, you know, what we'll talk about later in the playoffs with a couple of other teams. So that's two of our four things we need to discuss. And then we need to discuss about...
My call on the Bucks was wrong. Bucks ended up with what? The second highest, third highest record in the league?
Third highest.
Tied
with balls.
Tied.
Except for I rested my guys for a week.
Yeah, I rested them for the last team, but it was only three games. So.
Yeah, it's okay.
Not for
when it comes down to it, I guaranteed two sims in that there was no way that he was going to be in the top four. I was more confident about that than anything, that he would do something stupid and screw up his chances.
He's got a history.
He's got a history. This is the only reason I brought it up. Yeah. Okay, so yes. That is one I admit being wrong there. My second major, major problem. And I'll let Scott tell the story now. I'll let Balls tell the story now.
Yeah, well, so besides getting the Warrior pick wrong, Trey has a certain, I guess, thing about him where anytime he talks trash, things go in the opposite direction. And I forgot what it was, but there's something he actually talked trash about in the last, 2 weeks that went in the right direction. I marked it in my calendar. I just don't have it with me.
Oh, okay.
But it's a global event when this happens.
Right.
So,
I think I'm about 90% wrong when I talk trash.
Yeah, you know, I actually want to check to see if the polarity has switched on Earth after getting that one right.
Maybe.
But anyway, anytime he talks trash, he gets it wrong. So he talked trash about
that
Warriors. Quail, and he talked trash about the Warriors. Well, but the worst part is he gloated about the Warriors one a week before it happened. And that's where I think he got the karma came back to haunt.
Yeah. So what happened was before the last sim, the Warriors were the fifth seed. And the Warriors were largely pounding their chests about how great their team is. And we agree that they're awesome on paper. I went on the boards and I started running my mouth a little bit, and I'm not sure if he ever called me out for it, but he had a great last sim and slid into the top four.
Well, I forgot who said
it. And also slid into your butthole. Chain Fry's dick.
Awkward.
Why does it get so weird? Why does it get
I don't know. Chaney Fry is inserting into each one of us now, so we're like brothers.
No, not really. Just your mouth. yeah. So.
So, after a Channing Frye laughing moment.
Yeah, we had to pause there for a second.
What were we talking about?
Oh, we're talking about
the Warriors.
So, yeah, somebody brought it up on the boards about how he is really bold and cocky when his team's doing well, and then he disappears, kind of like B-Ball does when his team isn't doing well and doesn't put up depth charts.
Right.
So, yeah, it's very true. And then when you saw his team get knocked out of the playoffs pretty quickly, I mean, he hasn't been heard from in a long time.
And it was quick work.
And he's got something after taking on that Rasheed Wallace contract, along with your boy Sprewell, and then Glenn Robinson and Nick Van Exel. He's got, six more years of salary cap hell to deal with, decrepit people.
Right.
And this doesn't go to say, that he didn't have a bad season. I think we all talked a little bit of trash about him at some point. He had a team that was very top four seed in the West. And the West is probably the best division right now. I mean, East is very competitive as well, but I think the West is very top heavy.
Yeah. I would say it's really equal. But I think the bottom of the West is really bad. I don't think the bottom of the East is quite as bad. So
we do have the Hawks and the Magic. The Hawks, they were getting a little bit better towards the end of the year. I don't know, after that trade.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, you still trade away his future, but,
right.
He got some young players.
So we want to talk about the playoffs a little bit now?
We had a couple.
We made predictions and they were all right. We all actually agreed on the length of the series and they got them all right. It's amazing. So here we are now. We have essentially three sweeps on our hands in the second round.
Before we get
there,
want
to go to the first round.
No, I was going to say, let's
read some reader mail.
Make It Rain asked us to make some round two predictions. I'm going to go off on a limb here and pick
Not the Bulls
to be 3-0 on the Grizzlies, the Hornets to be 3-0 on the Bulls, the Bucks 3-0 on the Sixers, and, oh, God, the last one's a tough one,
yeah,
the Divas match.
I think somebody steals home court and then the other team takes it back.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go with the Rockets 2-1 at least in the first three games over the Sonics. Is that what you guys are feeling for
the
predictions?
I think it's
I've got the Rockets going over the Sonics.
Yeah, and to finish off, I think the Rockets will actually win the series.
Yeah. Okay, so we have currently we are sitting in the middle of round two. I'm not sure that we'll need a third sim for this round because this is pretty.
You could.
For the Diva match.
The longest match ever. Go to the bathroom, boys.
I don't know. I mean, the Lakers are taking care of business. I made a comment on the depth chart today, but this could be the easiest playoff run a guy has ever done because, you know, he figured out your lineup a long time ago and haven't had to change much, change the scoring options. That was it. But I think that he's pretty much gearing up for next season at this point and just wake him up when the championship ceremony happens. I mean,
wait, for who, me?
For you.
Oh, no, that's not.
Yeah.
I do not feel that way.
Well, us lottery
response out there.
Us lottery teams probably see it as
now,
not at this
but
point.
But you take a look at last year. I mean, clearly the best team last year wasn't me if anybody had to bet into the second round.
Hi, Nola.
it was the Hornets, right?
Right.
So even going into the second round, even, you know, I had to come back from two series down 1-3 to win my championship. And if we looked at things at this point in time, last year, the Hornets were the same one. Hey, let everybody call the championship banner.
Yeah.
Just give them the rings and who's coming in second place. I even wrote an article about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how good the Hornets were last year. So we certainly can't crown anyone,
right,
and especially me being the person that we're quote-unquote crowning. That's not going to happen. I mean, whoever makes it out of the next round, it's huge problems for me because the Sonics have beaten me 3-1 in the regular season. And then the Rockets have a very well-built team. And then I might have to play the vaunted Hornets in the finals.
Well,
I mean,
and let's go. Hey,
to Murderer's Row.
Let's talk about potential matchups right now.
He said almost Hornets.
No, and we're going to get there, okay? You're jumping the gun. All right, so right now it's looking like Hornets Bucks for the Eastern Conference Finals. It's looking strong because both teams are dominating the other team. I don't see that changing. I think the same thing can be said about the Lakers series. Balls, let's go to you first. So as a potential Western Conference matchup, let's talk about both.
Right.
Which one do you like more than the other? Because I think potentially we have three series we could see in the next round.
I prefer to play the Rockets.
Okay, the Rockets.
The reason why I prefer it is just because I want to play the best to get to the championship. I want my team tested. I want to go against the best.
Do you think they're that much better than B-Ball and the Sonics?
I mean, I think the series proves that they're not that much better than the Sonics. I mean, Chris Paul is the conduit to, you know, a great team.
Yep.
You know, Chris Paul, in my opinion, is the MVP of the league because that team was the same team before you throw Chris Paul on it. You throw him on there, and they're talking about going to the conference finals from being the worst record in the league.
Yep. So, okay. I mean, so if you play the Rockets, potentially, what do you see out of that series?
Seven games.
What do you see out of a B-ball series?
Seven games.
You think seven out of both?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that matchup for him, Chris Paul could take advantage of
Chris Paul's the only guy in the league. Well, even Chris Paul is a guy I've struggled against. Jason Kidd is a guy I've historically struggled against. Steve Francis is a guy I've historically struggled against. So, again, like the real-life Lakers, anybody that's got a great point guard, I'm going to struggle with them. Right. Not to say I'm not going to beat them. Overall, my team might be a little bit too heavy for them to carry for seven games. I think my team is my team's really built for seven-game series. They're not built for one games.
All right. Lakers-Rockets. What do you think?
I can't really say much more than Balls has already said, but I think that it would be, I think, just using the regular season, the regular season matchups and series that they had, he matches up better to the Rockets. While they are a much more well-rounded team and much more deeper team, he matches up better against them just using past data.
Yeah.
Whereas the Sonics had his number during the regular season. So
the Sonics series is a tough thing to look at because he had someone hurt, then Balls had someone hurt. None of those games are their healthy,
right?
Healthy lineups. I think that the Rockets are the better rounded team. Does that mean it's going to be a better series than against the Sonics? I don't know. I think both teams will have a potential chance to pick up a win against the Lakers, but I don't see either one of the teams pushing it to six. I think it's over in five. I think probably against the Sonics.
I think Tim Duncan.
I think it's over in four against the Sonics.
I think whether it's Al Jefferson or Dirk Nowitzki, whatever you pronounce his name.
It doesn't matter either.
Duncan's going to just take him to the shed.
That's why the reason why I match up the Rockets so well.
Right.
Is my two best scoring options are against his two worst defenders. So I have Duncan against Jefferson, who's terrible in the offense or defensive end. And then I have T-Mac versus Melo. And while Melo is very formidable on the offensive end, on defense, he leaves a lot to be desired. So that's why I match up so well against him. And I can just throw Iverson as a third scoring option. If he goes off, he goes off. He doesn't. It's not going to hurt my team.
And I'm going to throw a little 10-second thing in here. Loco, this is no disrespect to you. You're down 3-0. If you can come back and beat him, we'll talk about you in a couple days. But at this point, it doesn't look good for you. Let's switch over to potential Eastern Conference Finals. This is the Bucks and the Hornets. They both have they're both up 3-0.
Well, let's talk about what's gone wrong for the other teams.
Okay, so the Bulls, and who are you playing?
I'm playing the Sixers.
Okay, the Sixers, we didn't expect them to get here in the first place because they're banged up really bad. I don't know that it's a surprise. I think, you dominated them in all three of those games.
Throughout the season, though, it's always for all the games that we've had throughout the season have been, for the most part, very competitive. I think of the series, there was one that was a massive blowout, and that was because Jameson was hurt 5 minutes into the game. But all the other ones were pretty close. And I think the last game we played, I beat him. But I think that's when Billups was out. But I was also starting my backup. So, there's that. You give somebody, lose them there. But
it's tough not to say what went wrong with them. The way his team
has played has been very, very, very impressive.
Well, he's good. But he's just hurt.
He's hurt. Losing Jameson. And he could potentially have Jameson back, in 3 days?
Yeah, I think if the series goes
to seven, he'll be
seven. Jameson would be back,
right?
For at least game seven.
That's what went wrong with him. We can talk specifically about the Bulls. I think Ball said this to me. I completely agree with it. They're running too much.
Yeah, anybody. I mean, I said this, and it's a good segue. Not the thing you ride, but a good segue into the next round, assuming that these 3-0 series holds up. Is that anybody who tries to run with the Hornets, anybody who tries to run with those horses are going to tire out and they're going to get run over. Because there's nobody in the league over the past at least two seasons that can stay point for point with the Hornets. So, and that's kind of a detriment to Quayle and why we think, or why I think the Hornets are, I don't know, kind of your nemesis, is because your game plan and when you're at your best is when you're at fast and very fast pace, and you guys are just throwing up shots and running and getting turnovers and scoring, getting easy buckets. And that's also the Hornets, really, that's their strength as well. So, I mean, I think it's going to be a great series. It really is. I think you have a lot more defense than the Hornets do, but I'm not sure if you keep at your current game plan that you'll be able to keep up.
Yeah, and that's obviously one of my biggest concerns, if, you know, assuming I go forward into the finals for the Eastern Conference. Just that matchup throughout the season. Now, granted, when we played, I think it was earlier in the season when I was still tinkering with my game plan, so there were times when I was, you know, changing things up. So that's not to say what happened then is going to happen again, but at the same time, I'm not, you know, I'm not counting my eggs before they hatch either, because...
You don't have eggs! You don't have chickens either! We talked about this the other day, sorry.
I don't know what's happening.
He said he didn't want to count his chickens before they hatch, and I told him he doesn't have chickens, cut it out, but I might have been high on drugs at that point.
Fingers later for dinner. But anyway.
Sudafed will do that too.
Anyway, all I'm saying is that playing the Hornets is definitely a big worry for me, because I've never in the past haven't matched up well against them. And as Balls of Sand, like, I run a very fast-paced offense. He runs a very fast-paced offense. It's going to be who outscores the other. And I think my one win against him this season was by 1 point. It was a 122-123 game.
Right.
And that was the reason I won, is because Garnett was out.
Well, and then the point behind it, too, is if you give – so if they run a fast pace and you run a slow pace, you can mitigate the shots that they take by slowing your pace down, right? If you run a fast pace and they run a fast pace, I mean, we're talking about both of the teams getting 100, 110 shots a game.
Right.
And who's going to outscore the Hornets when they're getting 110 points a game? Like, I this year, I think I have a better roster than the Hornets, but I don't think I could outscore them if we're both shooting 110 a game. Because he's got, I mean, everybody on his team can shoot. Yeah. Everybody.
Well, I know we're kind of talking about that a little bit. I'm not going to entertain the finals matchup yet. I don't think anybody wants to talk about that.
No.
You know, let's see what happens the next couple days. Next time we reconvene,
we'll see what happens.
We'll see. So what else did you see on the boards they wanted us to talk about?
We had a
most disappointing team.
Yeah, the biggest disappointment this season besides the Celtics is from Energy Eye. Nola thought it was going to be in high, by the way.
I think the Celtics are essentially the most disappointing.
Well, that's unanimous, right?
Right. Well, it's silly to even have this conversation. I personally am most disappointed in my team.
I was going to bring that up, and not to take a dig at you.
No,
I think at the beginning of the season, if I would have told you where you're at, though, at the end of the season, you ended up as the 9th-ranked team.
Yeah.
I think you would have been okay with it, but I think during the season you had a couple of good sims that gave you some
false hope. Exactly.
And that's why you're at this place right now.
And we talked about this. I made the move for Yao because at that point it didn't look good.
Right.
I thought being able to sign Yao next year to an obvious max money deal. Let's hope he wants to sign with me. I know there's some problems there with the stats. But, you know, I wanted Yao. I wanted a center. We've talked about that before many times. And so I made that move thinking that it was going to – that was it. I was just trying to clean out house a little bit. It's also why I moved Kamen. I moved Kamen because I could get a little points for him. I could get a pick for him. And obviously, since I'm going after Yao, Kamen's not going to be a starter anymore. I think what hurts the most for me is that I came within 2 games.
Right.
And now my pick is in the hands of the Knicks, which we talked about all year too, and it's potentially going to do the same thing that last year's Mavs pick for the Sonics did.
Well, not anymore, but there was a point where
we were giving you a lot of grief for trading that away for Kamen.
To change gears, my biggest disappointment would be the Knicks.
I was actually going to bring them up too.
Since you brought them up as well, they came into the season with Yao, Amari, Jefferson, Parker, and then a ton of guys off the bench that were really good. They ended up the season with Amari, Jefferson, Parker, and a terrible McGlure contract, and a team that looked like they were...
They have Steven Jackson too.
But it was a team that looked like they're on the verge of taking the next step to be a tier two team, and they eventually becoming a dominant team in this league. And they just took huge steps backwards by making terrible move and really panicking.
He's another guy we haven't really heard much from lately.
He doesn't. And the thing about the Knicks, too, and I've been doing a little bit, I've been looking into a lot of people, especially since Yao is on my team now, been looking at some game plans and things like that. The Knicks never change their game plan. They'll change their scoring options, but they don't change their game plan. And I think every team has a sweet spot. Obviously, if the Kings found the right game plan, they might have been worth 25 wins and not 13 or 12 or whatever it is.
12.
Mm-hmm.
It's 12. Okay. So I think the Knicks, there's a sweet spot. I think that once they traded for Jackson, they didn't find it again. And they didn't necessarily have it during the middle of the year either with Yao. He doesn't change his game plan. He expects it to go the same way. And I had the same problem when I had Iverson and was in the playoffs a couple times. I just recently figured out what all that means, which means I was in the playoffs putting up game plans and putting up depth charts, thinking that was it, thinking it was a lot more shallow game than it actually is. It's much deeper. You have to find the right fit for your guys. And I just don't think the Knicks did that. And I don't think he necessarily tries to do that either.
Well, there are certain GMs in this league, and, you know, I can count myself among those that really want to see everything that goes on. In other words, just because it might seem obvious that you need to run an inside type game, I want to see what happens when I play the opposite of that, mm-hmm. or a balance focused, or fast or slow, or what have you. Like that's the kind of data that I want to pull in during the regular season. I mean, assuming that I'm not fighting for an 8 seed, like when you can afford to truly do it, you need to do it.
Well, to be honest with you, and I think that's what my problem was. That's what happened to me. Is we talked about this before the first sim went in, and our conversation kind of convinced me that I needed to try to do balanced rather than inside, which was what my strength was at the beginning of the season. And then halfway through the season, I tried nothing. I mean, every time I tried something new, it would just completely blow up in my face or be a complete success.
Same thing.
So essentially, that was my problem too, is I tried too much stuff and I got myself in a hole that I could never have gotten out of, and I didn't get out of. That 8-17 start really, really stung.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Because then you can't have losing sims from that point forward. But yeah, the Knicks, I don't think he's pulling in the information he needs to. I think his team is incredibly good.
I think he's half-assed.
Incredibly good. And I think that's, he's going to keep doing it like this.
In this league in particular, and you know this, and you know this as well, like from playing fantasy football, right? There are different levels of competitiveness in a fantasy football league. And if you go into a fantasy football league and don't put in the time
to research your players,
to
look at matchups,
wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning if it's a waiver wire and first come, first serve.
Yeah.
If you don't put in your time against very competitive people, it's not going to end up well. And the Knicks, well, in this league in particular, they're not putting in the time that it takes to win in this league. And this league is a very competitive league, and I mean, I spend probably way too many hours on it.
Yeah. And it's not a dig at AD23.
No.
I hate to use the inadequate word. I just don't think there's been enough time put into it for this. He's turning in his depth charts, although they're the same every time. He's turning his depth charts. I don't know what he's doing on his end, but...
It's not inadequate. I'm just saying, when I'm saying to win in this league,
yeah.
I have to put up more.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the whole, like, if you look at the real NBA, like, you look at Vince Carter, great player. He had everything you needed as a player. But did he ever put up the same amount of time as a Kobe Bryant? That's why Kobe's great, because he put in more time. Right. Was he more physically gifted than Vince Carter? Probably not. But he just put in the more time. And right. when you put in time, it pays off. It really yeah. does.
Let's go on to another question that we had. Let's see. Where'd it go? I just had it here. C. Prej, the Utah Jazz GM, said biggest disappointment, but also the biggest surprise of the season. Now, by surprise...
Does that go into hand-in-hand with GM of the Year almost?
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say... Because a big surprise could be a move that you weren't expecting to happen that could have been a bad move, like... The Hawks trading 3 picks was a huge surprise. No one thought he would give up those picks for one player. That's a surprise, but I think here he's hinting more at like a team that you weren't expecting to be in the thick of it, make the playoffs, and they did. And my vote goes to the Suns.
Suns?
Yeah.
The Sonics.
I think the Suns, no, the Suns.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay.
The Phoenix Suns, I think they really did a great job at Yeah, well, he got Vince Carter in there for not too big, you know, the deal's not that huge. He's a little old, but he's got a lot of young players that surround him. He's got good talent. I think Vlade's mm-hmm. coming off the books this year. I think Fortson has another one, maybe 1 year after this one's up.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think he has two top five picks. He has, well, maybe, not, I don't know what the Nets are, but he has the Heat pick, which
he has
is
a chance
top five.
At two top five
exactly.
picks.
He has a chance at two top five picks, and
which could be eight.
Which I both owned. Sadly, at one point.
Right.
At this point last season, well, I didn't own the Heat pick. I traded that for Rashid. Yep. Yeah, that's one of those moves you look back and you're like, fuck. But if there's any draft that you want to do that in, it's this one.
Yeah.
Who's your biggest surprise?
I thought the Pacers were really good.
That's a hard... There was a lot of surprises this season.
I think the Pacers were really good. I think... For you, it's funny that we talk about this most improved player debate,
right, yeah.
and they're both on the same team. Right. I mean, this Artest-Baron Davis debate is hilarious because they're both starters for the Pacers. The Pacers had a really, really bad end of the season, positioned them in probably a bad place, but they took the Hornets 7 games. I think the Pacers are a huge surprise to me because I just didn't look at their lineup and say, hey, these guys are great.
And you got to look at it, too.
And they could very well be great in the next year.
We completely, like, overlooked them earlier when we were talking about GM because we were talking about Soundwave versus mm-hmm. Chad Anthony or Darth Vagina.
He's going to love that. Because he's on his little soapbox today about him being GM of the year.
Anyway, but no, like, we overlooked the Pacers GM, I think, completely when he really... He's been flying under the radar as one of
yeah.
those GM of the Year candidates, mainly because, not like, how did he get Baron Davis and Greg Ostertag? He did a sign and trade with Shaq.
Right.
I mean, he got something for a guy that probably could have gotten nothing for if he would have just let him go. He signed and traded Shaq, got Baron Davis, who is first team NBA point guard,
yeah.
and a guy, Greg Ostertag, who's not too
and
bad
spoiler
either.
Spoiler alert, Shaq isn't.
Shaq is Shaq. He's a turnover machine. He scores and rebounds, but I mean he's a turnover machine.
Yeah, he's
and he was
hurt
a lot
curse.
This year.
You know, my biggest surprise is
he's greedy.
My biggest surprise is going to be the Sonics. I expected the Sonics obviously to be better after getting Chris Paul, but I didn't expect them to be this good this fast.
Fringe playoff team, maybe. Like,
fringe.
I didn't
eight.
Think...
Oh, that's what you thought he was. Okay. So
yeah,
no,
yeah, yeah. No, I got to give him his respect. You know, it's funny because we battle a lot with B-ball, and
yeah.
I think a lot of people like seeing him as the villain or the heel of the league. But when it comes down to it, he did a great job this year. He, you know, you might call him lucky for the Chris Paul pickup, but...
Oh, certainly lucky. Beat
that being
odds.
Said...
That's definition of luck, right?
Yeah, but it worked. The rest of his moves or the rest of his lack of his moves worked pretty well for him. He has a chance to go to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
And he almost traded Ray Allen in the middle of the season. So, you know, that is a very surprising team. They're very good and they're very scary in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was going to be this season they'd be like a 10,
yeah,
10th in the West, and then next season would be when they rose. But,
oh, we forget about Zolino. Cavs.
Yeah, but I thought he was going to be a playoff team, so it wasn't that big of a surprise to me.
It looked like he was rebuilding was the reason why he made that move and signing on Kerr. It looked like he was rebuilding, and and he did really well with it. I mean, didn't he finish in the... Did he finish in the top four?
No.
Nope, he was number six.
Number six. Oh, okay. But he was in that battle for a while. He's really a backcourt away from doing anything big. And he really needs to end up focusing on what he needs to do because he's got Gasol and Okur. And Okur is more of a three-point shooter. Gasol is more of an inside game. So, yeah. So he needs to focus on what he wants to do. He's probably going to end up having to stay with a balanced lineup for a while. Fuck you, Soundwave. And we'll see.
One last question before we finish it up. Fuck you, Soundwave. Let's see. I appreciate B-Ball saying that I'm out of the three of us, I'm the only one with dignity left.
But he clearly does not know you.
Exactly. As I was talking about Channing Frye's dick in each one of us earlier.
Well.
But they had a couple guys asking about next season. Like, who do you see as a surprise next season? Who do you think is going to be a big mover? Maybe possibly taking themselves from outside the playoffs and moving in, forcing someone out. Real quick, you know, it's going to be hard not looking at the, you know, all the rosters and whatnot. But who do you think is a fringe, or maybe on the outside looking in, but next year we'll be on the inside waving to all the fuckers that are outside?
I mean, I can't say that, but I'll say one team that's on the fringe but made it this year. It's got to be the Suns we talked about earlier. Most likely one top pick. They've got Deng coming back, who's going to improve. They've got Carter. They've got a ton of, you know, they've got a ton of ammunition. They might be a top four seed next year.
They could. I mean, to be honest, if they end up being top three, they can get Aldridge, they can get Millsap. Fuck, look at Rudy Gay. That guy looks really good in this draft too. And I mean, if that's the case, if you can get Gay, I would try to see if you could package Deng with something else to move around.
You've gotten Gay before, haven't you?
I've gotten Gay for a package with Deng.
I thought you got Gay for Channing Frye's dick in your mouth.
And on that note,
who else? Yeah, I guess we can. Oh. I thought we were in the middle of that conversation.
We were, but then we switched to Channing Frye's dick. And
again. I mean, I swear to God.
I have a girlfriend. It's awesome. But
yeah, I really hope.
Gay.
Her name is Channing.
His name is Channing.
Tatum?
Oh, God. Why? It doesn't even make sense. Right. I mean, I like my chances next year, I guess.
Oh, yeah, you're a good pick, too.
I have four guys that I would love to keep that are hitting free agency.
Hit them up for a signing trade.
I want to keep my two forwards that I like a lot, Wilcox and Gooden.
Right.
I wouldn't mind signing Richardson to a cheaper deal. So we'll see if any of them offer to sign with me. I would take most of their deals right away because none of them played enough minutes to really demand huge salaries.
Do you know what Richardson offered to sign with me for?
Yeah, but
a max money deal.
Max money deal. How many minutes did he get from you, with you?
Like 17.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think he got even 10 from me though.
Oh wow, you must be
Joel Prisbilla asked for max money and now he's making like $1 million for 7 years.
That's what happens when you try to show off the Lakers, your career dies.
Alright, so we're coming up.
Well, that was gonna be my pick.
Oh, okay. I thought you
already
wanted to end the conversation 2 seconds ago.
You said the Suns and he said the Pistons. I was gonna say
the Bucks.
No, I have two teams.
Channing Frye.
The Nets. I think the Nets can make some moves this offseason that can make them with Dwight Howard, really to give them some kind of oomph. And also, I was going to say the Hawks. You know, I don't know what they're going to do. As much as I shed on them.
I was almost sure you were going to say the Celtics. And
all right, we're done.
Instead, you said the Hawks. We're not even going to let you make that argument.
I'm glad you've got some dignity.
I want to end on a joke.
All right, guys. The end. Anyway,
yep, that's it. So good luck to all the teams that are still in the playoffs who are trying to have one.
Did you just wish yourself good luck?
I did. And I wish Balls luck, too. I did not wish Trey luck because obviously he's not in the playoffs. I mean,
all right, guys.
Give it another day.
We're gonna try to have another podcast maybe before the finals. No guarantees about the.
Are you guys all here Monday?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, maybe we can work out
some
Monday.
We'll probably have to have something
like
at some point.
That sound thing. You heard fuck ridiculous. You, Soundwave.
This is that right
fuck out. Fuck you, Trey.
No music. Bye.